Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava on Elevated Places Network. This is Brother Terrence Muhammad, her usual co-host, and tonight I will be part of two co-hosts for tonight. Our wonderful sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. I'll maybe calling in later, but she's doing what she does, working for our nation and making things happen. But she's not going to be on all night if she comes on at all. But we're going to still enjoy this night. We're still going to have a great conversation. We're still going to have our callers call in. And we're still here tonight on Ask Dr. Ava Elevated Places. And again, this is Brother Terrence Muhammad, and in a second, in a few, I'm going to introduce who's going to be on tonight. For those who haven't seen the flyer, our guest co-host, as she would say, is not a guest, it's actually our family who's going to be coming on. But I want to always remind everyone, if you haven't heard of the Swan Song, if you did not get a chance to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on February 27th from our National Center, Mas Mariam, deliver nearly 5 hours, 4.5 hours of divine guidance. And we definitely can say divine guidance because he didn't even touch his notes, but he gave everybody that was in attendance, everybody that was in the tent in Mas Mariam, in MUI, and Masala, and throughout study groups, mosques, and people's homes throughout the world who have seen it that day and who has watched the replay. He has touched everyone who has heard the Swan Song. And not only that, we want to make sure that you rewatch, reanalyze, and study the Swan Song by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, delivered February the 27th of 2021. We also want you to go back and hear The Criterion on July 4th, 2020, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I did say February 27th, 2022. That's what I meant, 2022. But we want you to go back and see The Criterion from July 4th, 2020, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because we're still in this pandemic, and we know that there has been given guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan concerning this. So we want to make sure you see that. And you can go to store.finalcall.com, store.finalcall.com to get these powerful messages, DVDs, CDs, and also MP3s. And we also want to remind you to go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com, Weapons of Mass Destruction. That book, you can get that book. There's ebooks, and you can go back and rewatch the master's class. You can go back and watch the master's class at MinisterAva.com. So we also want you always to tune in to NOI.org on Sundays at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, or during the week on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. NOI.org. Or go to study.noi.org, study.noi.org on Friday nights at 7:30 p.m. So with that being said, before we go into our report from our sister, I just want to go ahead and bring on, just for the first introduction, because we got a lot to talk to him about tonight, but we want to bring on the Southwest Student Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, my brother, our brother, a friend, family member of Ask Dr. Ava of the Elevated Places Network, our brother, Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad. Welcome to the show as our co-host tonight. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You can hear me?
Yes, sir. Definitely can hear you loud and clear.
All praise is due to Allah who came in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad. We thank him for our exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank them both for not leaving us alone, but leaving in our midst our brother, servant, and friend, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for allowing me to be his student minister in Houston since 1987. And Southwest Regional Student Minister. I'm not yet a representative, but I pray Allah that one day I can represent him in the way of his character. But that being said, since 1994, I want to thank the Executive Council for its work and sacrifice. And more than anything, I'm grateful to the listeners of this program, Elevated Places. What people would describe as the rank-and-file believers of the Nation of Islam, they are the salt of the earth, and they have not lost their savor. And I thank Allah for my sister and your sister and our sister, Sister Student Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, the national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam. And as you said, Brother Terrence, we are family, and we thank Allah for her and all of her work over the years and her uncompromising defense and also offense of the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, particularly in those areas of the self-improvement study guides and, of course, with Project Separation and all that she does in other areas, of course, of relationships, et cetera, and so forth. But those are the two, as I said before, I would hang my hat and her headpiece on. Those two stick in my head, and I'm grateful to be a co-host tonight, whatever that means. Let's get the party started.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I definitely understand about the representative. We are all striving to be students of these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that one representative in our midst, the Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we are just happy, and I know you are. We are both just happy to be students in the class, because at least we can say we're in the class, and God is not through with us yet. So it's a beautiful thing. Let me take a liberty right here and just thank all of the listeners that are online, that's on the phone line. And I say that because I don't know if I said it last week, but it is just, you know, sometimes I forget. And I remember Mary J. Blige saying something one time. She said, you know, she just makes these songs that come from her heart, come to her spirit. And she just makes the song, and then when, like, different artists always have this moment where people come up and tell them how it saved their life, how it moved their life, it changed their life, it mattered to them. And so as I was going through MUI, I met some believers that said they listened religiously at Mas Maryam. They listened religiously outside, and I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And I'm just seeing myself as Brother Terrence, and we just here every Thursday night to enjoy this elevated state of conversation. So sometimes, you know, we don't know the impact that we have on you all, the callers and the listeners, but we are so gracious and thankful that you even want to entertain us and entertain this conversation every Thursday night and be a part of this, because as Dr. Ava always says, is this is for you all, and we enjoy the callers and all of the conversation that we're blessed to have. So we're just always good to be recognized amongst the believers when we're at national events. And, you know, I see believers that say they have listened to the show, they love the show, they love Dr. Ava. And I would just say that love can be shown to Dr. Ava by continuously going to MinisterAva.com, and supporting her and making sure that you see what's going on, stay connected, and we can make sure that we can get this message out all across the world. And remember, to get your latest edition of the Final Call newspaper, go to digital.finalcall.com or finalcalldigital.com. My fault, finalcalldigital.com, and get your latest edition of the Final Call newspaper. Before I jump into conversation with you, Brother Dr. Abdul Halim. We want to go to our sister who is on here, Attorney Pamela. I know she has some jewels to drop for us, because I do also know that this Sunday, the 13th, marks 2 years that our sister Breonna Taylor was murdered in her home, and no justice has come for her. And our brothers and sisters from Until Freedom have a petition they got out that they want people to sign, that we want the Department of Justice to bring those officers who killed Breonna Taylor to justice. And it will mark 2 years this Sunday, March 13th, that our sister Breonna Taylor was murdered in her home. But I know our sister Attorney Pamela got some news and a lot of news for us tonight. So welcome again on Thursday night, Attorney Pamela. What you got for us? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Terrence. And also, assalamu alaikum to you, Minister Abdul Halim Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela. We're in the same city. Just open up your window and holler at me.
That's right. That is right. This is my student minister, and I'm so happy to hear your voice. So this is awesome. And Brother Terrence, Brother Terrence, you are so right. As we look at the Breonna Taylor shooting and the anniversary mark in the 2 years from her murder, because now, as the Final Call article entitled Biden, Blacks, and America's State of Disunion, and that article is in this week's Final Call written by our brother William P. Muhammad, one of the things that jumped out at me is this, there's a quote by Dr. Tony Montero, and he was interviewed by the Final Call, and one of the things he mentioned was how there was frustration with Biden's declaration that the nation's police need more funding. And it was seen by some as a tone-deaf overture to white voters at the expense of millions of black Americans still waiting for the president to deliver promising policing reform almost 2 years after George Floyd's murder. So we know that these murders and the lack of police accountability has been a issue that many Americans have been looking at. So to hear President Biden talk about this in the light of the excessive force and the continuing police brutality, that was really the subject of our show on Tuesday, A Time for Justice, where we explored some of these excessive force cases in detail. And I saw an article today that I really think is important, as it appears that there's a line of, you know, lack of reform mentality as we look back into the rhetoric of the 90s, when there was this tough on crime mentality that resulted in a lot of juveniles being locked up, a lot of our people being locked up. Because there's an article in the New York Times where the mayor, Eric Adams, is now proposing that 16 and 17-year-olds be tried as adults. And this is something that is very detrimental when you try youth as adults and put them in adult prisons. According to that article, they talk about how in the 90s, this practice ended up doubling the number of young people in adult facilities. The article also in the New York Times, and this is written by Gladys Carion, it also goes on to talk about how when people under 18 are placed in adult facilities, they're more likely to be sexually assaulted. They're, you know, also five times more likely to even kill themselves. And so it's very interesting that once again, and, you know, when they talk about specifically that black youth were 8.6 times as likely to be incarcerated in adult facilities as their white counterparts. So, you know, it's a problem to me, because we had these promises of reform in 2020 and 2021, that we were on the road to reforms that were introduced to lower the age and reform youth incarceration rates. And now here we are with the president looking like he's giving a nod to the police funding. Now we've got this mayor of New York who seems to be indicating that with the legislation that they're proposing. And I just wanted to end by bringing up, and Brother Halim, you're very familiar with this, putting youth in adult jails is very dangerous. We had a young man in November of 2021 by the name of Fred Harris. And this young man was 19 years old, and he was put into our jail system, which is the Harris County jail system. This young man weighed 98 pounds. There's some thought that he had some mental, had some mental deficiencies. And he was put in jail with a 240-pound inmate who killed him. And, you know, you talked to his mom. She implored them, please, you know, this is not the place for him. She begged for him to not be, you know, put into these situations, into this circumstance. But our young brother, 19-year-old, murdered in an adult jail. And so, you know, as we look at these reforms that were introduced but didn't get taken into place with the police funding and now, you know, police reform, more compassion, you know, we have to really raise our eyebrows, I believe, at what we see coming. And this is why we talk about making our own communities decent and safe places to live. So I just wanted to point some of that out.
Man, you pointed out a
pass
lot.
It back to you. All praise to Allah, Brother Terry.
Man,
she
threw us a hot potato, huh, Brother Terry?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to leave that right there at the table. Good gracious.
Ooh-wee.
But that's some serious stuff. And you know, one of the things that I want to just kind of jump right into that kind of ties into, you know, Dr. Ava, our sister Dr. Ava always talks about separation in the land of our own. So it kind of brings me on to, like, today we would have celebrated. Well, today is the 200th birthday of Harriet Tubman, and this group, Girl Track, they have people running all across the nation, black women running 2.22 miles commemoration of Harriet Tubman's 200th birthday today. And we know that Harriet Tubman was that woman that was going from plantation to plantation to free the slaves. So it makes me think about Tuesday night. And I wanted to start off, I mean, I got a couple of things I want to start off with my co-host, but if you can give us some of the thoughts and some of the things that were discussed on Tuesday night that people were not able to get, because every month we have a theme, Project Separation, the second Tuesday every month, Project Separation on YouTube. You can go back and watch it on YouTube and talk about some of the things that was discussed on Project Separation. About things that we need to get prepared for before we go into this reflection on the swan song.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Well, we thank Allah for Sister Donna out of Memphis, our Brother Cartier, and, of course, Sister Dr. Student Minister Ava Muhammad, again, for their persistence and consistency on this particular subject on Project Separation. And myself, architect and design builder and project manager, Brother Fahim Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, and also Brother Kamal Muhammad, former national secretary and son of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the Detroit Mecca project that the minister talked about at the Save These Days and how we should make Detroit our Mecca. And so the conversation got down to like a granular level, whereas what is necessary in terms of planning and development and all of the nuances that go along with it. So it was a very broad range conversation, but very substantive in terms of what each person brought to the table. And just to summarize it, it just boils down to the fact that Brother Kamal, leading the Detroit Mecca Project, he talked about the challenges that he faced, the problems that he had, and some of the successes and victories that he had and the opportunity that still exists. Brother Fahim Muhammad, who is an architect who has done, and project manager who has done work all across the country in terms of when you talk about from single-family housing to multifamily housing to hospitals to corporate headquarters, all types of vertical and horizontal building. He talked about those things that have to be done, and he went in deep on what you call green field development, whereas if you have an open field 20, 30, 40, 50 acres of land and you have nothing there, what is it that you have to do to begin that sequence of building on that property? What things are necessary to bring to the table and who should be in what particular lanes? And he talked about him staying in his lane, and he talked about those who would deal with financing. He would talk about those who are necessary for an urban planner, and he talked about that would be necessary for a civil engineer. And again, I mentioned financing. So everybody would then have their place in that particular development. And then we talked about things, for instance, of deed restrictions and how if we built our own subdivision and our own private subdivision, you know, what will we put in those deed restrictions and restrictive covenants to govern how our physical or our human settlement would pan out, you know, how it would look, what would be the rules and regulations of that particular area. And then, of course, I talk broadly about the approach to planning in so much as we should think globally, we should act locally, but we should plan regionally, because when we look at all of the various major cities and the suburbs and how they literally are growing out of the boundaries of those incorporated areas, we see an overlap. So, for instance, you would have a Great Lakes region. So how does Detroit, Chicago, and all of those states and around the Great Lakes, how do they relate in terms of transportation? And then we looked at thinking globally, what happens now that there's a war raging over in Ukraine, and now America said, okay, well, we're not going to buy Russian oil and gas. Now we're seeing gas prices going up and up and up. So the question is now, if we have our own settlement, our own human settlement, how do we build it in such a way where we could be energy independent or resilient in that way? How do we have our water source? We got to have a water source, because actually some of the next wars that are going to take place are going to not be over oil and gas, but they're going to be over water and a concept called riparian rights, people fighting over fresh water. So, and things like growing our food locally. So if you think about your food price, if your lettuce and your avocados and whatnot is coming, say, from California, and it's coming here by truck, well, the diesel fuel cost has gone up. So don't you think they're going to pass that on to that lettuce and that them carrots and all that you and I are trying to buy? So we have to begin to think what impacts us globally is going to impact us locally, and that's how we have to build our settlement as we move from a transition. We transition from a dependency to resilience, self-sustaining, and self-sustainability and whatnot. So that's kind of summarizing it, Brother Terrence. I hope that I hit the major points.
No, not only did you hit, you know, the major points, you really went into a lot of things that, you know, we need to discuss. And Carlos, we will be coming to you tonight. And just for everybody that has just joined, this is As Dr. Ava of Elevated Places Network. Our sister is not on tonight. She may give a chance to call in, but we do have a student minister from the Southwest region, Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad, on tonight. And as you just covered, which is very interesting, you know, there's a whole conversation in some of the work that I do around environmental justice and climate change. And Earth Day is coming up next month, but there's always this push for renewable energy, sustainability, divesting from fossil fuels, going away from dirty fossil fuels and stopping pipelines and using solar, using wind, and all of the different things that are good for our environment. So as you were saying that, not only, you know, are we dealing with what's going on with the war, but we also are helping the environment by doing that. But it's very telling when you said about water. You know, it's very interesting that at one time we didn't buy bottled water, and then we're buying bottled water, and then literally we're going to be looking to maintain and find water. And it's funny, in the 80s, I think, Dr. Eileen, I think it was in the 80s when I saw a movie about space pirates looting chunks and big blocks of ice in their spaceship. They was finding, looting, like that was like gold, big blocks of ice, because that ice could be melted for water. And people was, you know, like there was scavengers and pirates robbing ships to get these big chunks of ice in this movie. And it's amazing how a lot of the movies that we watch now, they always are telling on what's coming or what has happened. But we do need to watch that and then start to plan to build our own cities and to grow our own foods. So that was a good report on that. So
all praises to Allah.
So we don't have the guests, and like I said, you are the co-host, and our sister Donna said a very good recap, and maybe she'll come on and give us some more conversation about what took place on Tuesday night. But I wanted to go, before we hit the swan song, which we're going to get to, and we also want the callers to weigh in on your thoughts and reflections of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the swan song. We haven't had you on here to talk about Mas 45. We haven't really had a chance to let people know that Mas 45 has a new building, beautiful building, and I wanted you to talk about where you all are on the new mosque and the status of it and how people can continue to support what you are doing there in Houston, Texas. I want to give you that opportunity to talk about, because maybe some more things that you all are trying to do there in Houston.
Well, I thank you, Brother Terrence. Actually, it's not a new mosque, but we made it new.
Right.
We've been in there since 2000. Okay, so we've been there about 20 years now, and it was a Lutheran church, and it was built in 1960. And so all of the systems, of course, in it, it's a very, very, sturdy structure. But the systems in it, the air conditioning system, the flooring system, there was, we found out there was no insulation in it. You know, we had to change the roofing system out. We just redid it so that it would be, as you say, going forward, be sustainable. We have most of it done. We're able to occupy it. We passed all of our inspections with the city inspections, but we have to add now all of the bells and whistles. Bells and whistles would be that we have, of course, made it have all of our Cat 5 and Cat 6 all throughout of it. It literally could be a broadcast. It could be a broadcast studio, but the way we rewired the whole mosque, the electrical system and everything. But then we have to put in all of the other systems that we want, our video systems, all of our furniture. We still have furniture that we have to get and things of that nature. That being said, the thing that we put in priority ahead of that is, of course, the Savior's Day gift drive. Okay.
Yes,
once
sir.
The Savior's Day gift drive, then we then will be like a good DJ. You know, Mr. Hip-Hop man, you know, you're not only an environmentalist, but you're with all the hip-hop people. But you know, a good DJ is always, he always mixing in the music. So once we go from Savior's Day gift, then you start hearing us pushing the building fund drive, where people go to NOIHouston.org, and they can support the building fund drive, because we want to be debt-free by year three. So our mission is to be debt-free by year three. Because debt is slavery. I don't care if even it's to a black bank, it's still slavery. And we want to be in a position where we are completely debt-free. We have we have a school building, we have a house on the property. So we've got a full array, and we have enough land on that particular property where we could have a small urban garden and some other economic drivers that will help us to sustain what it is that we have there on Old Spanish Trail. So I thank you for bringing it up. Our focus right now is to make sure that we hit our Savings Day gift goal. But after that, then to drive very hard to go after and put in all the bells and whistles. And when you talk about sustainability, we do want to add a solar paneling and battery system to it so that, you know, what we experienced during Hurricane Harvey and what we experienced during the freeze of 2021, we don't ever want to go through that again. And we want to make the Maas not just a Maas, but really the Southwest Regional Center for Reeducation and Retraining and a hub by which, when it comes to emergency management, which was a part of my doctoral study, when it comes to emergency management, to have a hub by which people can come, they can charge their phones, do those things, be able to pick up water, ice, whatever they need in that area, it would be for the people so that we could support it. Because what we learned, Brother Terrence, is that during Hurricane Harvey and during the freeze of 2021, we learned that the 911 system was inundated. And one thing about a hurricane and these wind events, that if the, I believe my firefighter brothers tell me that if the wind is over 40 miles an hour, they won't come out. So you can call all you want to. They're not coming. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. And this is why we have to look at, of course, our ministries, Ministry of Defense, and underneath of that, our emergency management operations and how we're going to look out for one another, take care of one another. And that's why Project Separation is so important, because we have to learn how to take care and watch out for one another. And it's very, very, very important that we learn emergency management. There's a sister who wrote a book, and I think it's on Amazon, and you may be able to get it in an e-book. It's by Sister Landra Muhammad, Landra, L-A-N-D-R-A, Landra L. Muhammad, called Weathering the Storm, Disaster Preparedness, How to Survive the Fall of America. And I would suggest, again, Weathering the Storm, Disaster Preparedness, How to Survive the Fall of America by Sister Landra L. Muhammad. It's very, very, the way she wrote it, it's very simple. It's not complex. But she gives you the things that you and I need to do in preparation for these disasters that have been written of in Fall of America, rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes, and other calamities that are going to hit. So I would suggest that we start there and that we begin in our mosques, study groups, and in our regions to have these kind of discussions so that we'll know what particular calamities we are probably susceptible to. So in the Gulf Coast, of course, it would be hurricanes. Maybe in the plains areas, it's going to be tornadoes. On the West Coast, it seems to be fires, you know, and drought. And then in the North, Northeast, Midwest, snow, and all these other things. So we have to know what calamities we may be subject to. But the bottom line is that, you know, we're going to have to survive this war of Armageddon. You know, it's not who's going to win. Who's going to survive the war of Armageddon? And once we survive,
yes, sir,
then we're promised in the hereafter we will thrive. I believe that. In fact, I know it.
Man. I mean, you said a whole lot, because that's true. And we shall survive, and we have to get prepared. And I think, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, he gives us guidance and warning. You know, and you get a warning, you know, before something happens. Hey, 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 you know, or it's almost like before the red light, complete stop, there's a caution light. It's a warning. Caution is about to be red. It's about to be a state of where you need to stop. So we're going to give you a caution light so you can start braking and you can start slowing down or getting prepared for a complete stop. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not only, you know, giving us the caution sign and the warning, but he's also giving us guidance. Like, hey, don't go that way. Go this way. Matter of fact, don't go there at all. Matter of fact, stay still. Stay in your homes. You don't need to leave out tonight. You don't need to go here or you don't need to go there. And that's why we was taught wherever he say go or stay from, that's what we do. So with that being said, let's jump right into the swan song. And let me kind of break this up in multiple parts for you to have this conversation. And what I want to do, and I don't know if you can kind of, you know, we say we don't believe in the three and one, but I want you to kind of separate these thoughts and kind of capsulize your thinking as you were coming. And as you, once you first heard the title Swan Song, and you know, everybody had their take on what it was, and you know, how were you, what was your mindset coming into Savior's Day, knowing this was the first time since 2020 that we had been together, all together, and we're coming to Chicago National headquarters to hear from our minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What was your thinking and what was your preparation coming into Chicago before hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address on the 27th?
Well, if you remember, Brother Terrence, we were on Elevated Places, I think, a week or two before the Swan Song.
Yes, sir.
And I said just outright, you know, to the believers, I was encouraging the believers not to be fearful, you know, and not to be in a grieving kind of mode, because I wanted to kind of get their minds wrapped around the fact that when God shuts the minister's mouth, then God goes to work. He's going to work. And I often think about that part of Message to the Black Man where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, after me comes God. He said, I'm the last. Mm-hmm. This is it. There's none coming after me. And after me comes God. Well, you said, well, where does Farrakhan fit into that? Where does the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan fit into that? He is Elijah in our midst.
Right.
Louis has been dead.
Right.
Louis died so the Elijah could live. And he's got a double portion of the spirit. He has Master Fahd Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad backing him so that whatever comes out of that man's mouth, I want the enemies to hear this, whatever comes out of his mouth, God and the Christ answers it. So
that's right.
For me, I gave a lecture before we came up called Overcoming Fear, Hopelessness, and Anger. And so each time that I spoke to the believers, I showed the Swan Song flyer, and then I began to teach on it to say to them, look, I know what you're thinking, you know? And some of you are reacting like, oh, this is last talk. What's going to happen is Mr. Parker? And sure enough, he answered those questions. This wasn't his
yes,
Swan Song. This was ours and the world's Swan Song. And I thought about, you know, and I'm kind of chuckling, not because it's so funny, but in one sense, you know, it all boils down to the fact that, you know, the minister is so beautiful. Oh, my God. I mean, he's so beautiful. And in how Allah fashioned him in his mother's womb and brought him along slowly but surely to where he is right now, that he loves us so much. But he sees in us something that we're going to have to work on no matter whether we got degrees or no more, how much knowledge we have. He said to us, man, if we don't have character, we don't have nothing. So he wants us to work on our character because he said we're comfortable with sin. I mean, we're like comfortable in our iniquity. We sin, as the Bible said, we sin like we breathe. So how are we going to live together? How are we going to separate? Why would I want to separate some people I can't trust? Think about that,
right,
brother.
That's right.
You know, if we don't have character, if we don't live up to what God has given us, then we're going down with the enemy. So I think in the final call, I can't even quote myself, in the final call, I was asked about the Swan Song, and my response was that, you know, we shouldn't have any anxiety unless, of course, we're not living the life. If we're not living
right.
a life, we should have some anxiety. But really, the enemy needs to understand that when God shuts the minister down in this way, as he focuses on going up to yonder, And what's interesting is the ADL talked about anti-vax, talked about, you know, they always going to be with the anti-Semitism stuff, but they didn't touch. Listen to me. They even alluded to him saying that he was Jesus and the Jews were the enemies of Jesus. But you know what? They didn't touch the reality of the mother plane. They didn't touch it.
Come on.
Because if you really think about it, this trepidation that NATO and Biden and the United States has in triggering a world war by putting a no-fly zone over Ukraine, you know, if you think about that, you ought to think about the fact that there's something over their heads that they can't protect
right.
their people from.
Right.
And so, you know, so my thought again, Brother Terrence, I'm just trying to, you know, that swan song, 4.5 hours, brother, and we got 2 hours to talk, less than 2 hours to talk about it. Oh, please. So let me just focus on what it is. What hit me between the eyes, brother, is I cannot live without the truth. All that the minister gave up, he gave it up because he could not live without the truth. And that struck me because whatever little sacrifices I made in my life, where I am right now in my life, and the things I, you know, you sometimes you go through these shoulda, coulda, woulda stuff. But if I shoulda, coulda, woulda the stuff that I was doing, I'd be dead now. You know, so this was my destiny, to be born, and we who are on this line and listening to this, friends, frenemies, and enemies, we're born in the time of the Mahdi, the Christ, and the Messiah. Just, I want you to wrap your head around that, brother. They rejected Jesus 2,000 years ago because there were certain things that they looked for that the Messiah was supposed to do in that messianic age. It was not to be a bifurcated or two-advent process. He was to come and do what he's supposed to do in one age. So they rejected Jesus 2,000 years ago. The Christians said, well, okay, he didn't fulfill all of that. He's coming back to fulfill the rest. But the truth of the matter is that Master Fahd Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan were written of over 15,108 years ago by the scientists. They saw these three men, and they saw our condition, and they saw the end of Satan's world, but they weren't too clear on the details of what transpires in the next 10,000 years of this 25,000-year cycle. So we're living in that time, brother, of a transition of an old world going out and a new world coming in. So Minister Farrakhan is the trumpet. Minister Farrakhan is the second hand on the alarm clock that all the woke folks is woke from. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the minute hand, and Master Fahd Muhammad has set the hour. So we're living in the days of Allah. The days of Allah is not a 24-hour day. These are years that this thing is beginning to take place. So from 1914 on, this thing has been unraveling. And notice how this war is starting in Eurasia. And notice that the peace conference between Russia and Ukraine took place in Turkey. And if you go to Message of the Black Man, when he talks about Turkey, he talks about the Bosphorus. Do you know that Istanbul is a city that is on the Asia Minor and European continent? But it's separated by the Bosphorus. But there's a Europe, it is both east and west. So it's very interesting that all of this is taking place in Eurasia, right there where we ran them up. We ran them
right
out of the Holy Land. And so again, I just let me dial back, brother, because I get fired up thinking about the swan song. But brothers and sisters, we must get rid of our fear, our hopelessness, and our anger, and understand that we're not going to get all of what we believe we should have until the power of this enemy is broken. God is not going to reveal the new book, and that which is ushers in that 10,000 years of what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, or nor has it entered into the hearts of men, of what is going to take place. because that cannot, as Mr. Farrakhan said, it can't be revealed. It can't be shown until his enemy's power is broken. We'll never get rid of him and his rebellion against God if he's still around and that kind of power comes. We only gave him one book of the 60,000 books of knowledge.
That's
okay,
right.
I'm sorry, but what's the second to the third question so we get to our callers, brother?
No. We still got a few more minutes, but I want to remind everybody you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Our sister Dr. Ava is not in tonight, but we have another co-host, our brother, student minister Abdul Halim Muhammad from Houston, Texas, and he's here tonight. And let me just also say that you brought up our sister Landra and her book, which is Weathering the Storm: Disaster Preparedness, How to Survive the Fall of America, How to Survive the Fall of America, Weathering the Storm. And you can go to Amazon.com to get that, Weathering Storm, Disaster Preparedness, Survive. Weathering the Storm, Disaster Preparedness, How to Survive the Fall of America, the book that he just spoke of. Thank you, Sister Landra, for giving me that link so people can go get that book. Thank you, Sister Georgina, who is on Facebook, re-putting out stuff, reposting stuff on the show, and our Sister Virginia, who is also on Twitter, giving us some things on Twitter and making sure that people have what we know. So I said Virginia, I meant Sister Valerie. I apologize. Sister Valerie Muhammad is on Twitter giving us some stuff. I have messages coming in, so I apologize for that. And it's very interesting, Brother Halim, that you touched on something that Sister Donna wanted. She wanted you to talk about what you brought up, about what you said on our previous show about what we was getting into and what we was walking into to prepare for hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to ask Sister Pamela to jump in right quick because I want to kind of give my piece, and then I'm going to give you a chance to talk about the swan song before you go to the phones. But Sister Pam, what were your thoughts before coming or hearing the swan song? What was your mindset like, and what were you thinking as we were preparing to hear the message on February the 27th?
Yes, sir. Well, my thoughts prior to going were that I just wanted to hear what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had to say, because I had missed him during this different time in history that has never occurred before. And like a father, it's like, could you please, you know, tell us some more? I mean, I know everybody says how he has told us so much, and there are books and lectures and so much that, you know, he's given us that is guides for our salvation and the kingdom of heaven. But that's what I was really, I was actually just praying to hear from, you know, the minister. And so as far as whether or not it was him saying he was going away, I mean, I try to prepare. He's told us, you know, that this has to happen, and, you know, just the fortification of his words is really what I was looking for. So, no, I was very shocked, though, when it's like, no, this is, again, about you. This could be your swan song. So that was a whole different, you know, a different development. But I was so thankful to Allah that he gave us that mirror to look at myself. So, yes, sir. Beautiful man. He was just beautiful.
Praise be to Allah. I would also just add, you know, I'm coming from left field. So Dr. Lee, I love, and Sister Pamela, I love what you all have just stated. I came with a different mindset. You know, I'm always coming into Chicago a little bit early because usually, as you know, Dr. Lynn, a laborers meeting takes place on that Thursday before workshops on the Friday and Saturday with all of the things, and then we have the keynote on Sunday. So it was like, oh, only thing that's happening is on Sunday. So for us that usually are there working, you know, some of us could have said, well, no, I'm going to come in on Friday. I'll just come in on Saturday. But I'm glad that I kept my flight for Wednesday. And I came in on Wednesday, and then I ran to the mosque just trying to find something to do, just something to get into. Got a tent was already up. You know, I couldn't help put up the tent, but Adamo was already there. The tent was already up. But I just want to let people know that even though we only had one day, quote unquote, for Savior's Day, that there was so many people and so many believers that was working hard to organize, to prepare, working with the city official, working with law enforcement, different believers that was coming in, making sure transportation for different believers that was coming in the city, hotel arrangements, a whole production was going on. So even though people just showed up, there were people that was working, having strategic meetings and planning just to be able to receive and to give the people what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wanted. He said he wanted everybody that showed up to have a seat and to accommodate those. And I thank our brother Student Minister Ishmael, the National Assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who doesn't just sit in his seat, but he goes around. And we discovered there wasn't some sound correction needed in the Masala. We worked that out. And Brother Adama runs, Sister Tawana, different people that was making sure that people got there, and some of our the minister's guests, the Mother Khadija, the lot of different guests that come from near and far across the country, literally across the waters, to be at Savior's Day, just to be there. So, you know, there were some that wanted to go to hear the minister, and then there was some that was working to make sure that those that were coming, that we would receive properly, to make sure that we had the best smile, the best attitude to receive our people, and also the mindset that us and we that have been sitting under this beautiful man, the Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that if there was someone here that wanted to hear this message, that had never heard this message before and have are not considered registered members in the Nation of Islam, that they was able to come and hear this message, because as we will get into the swan song, and as you said, Dr. Aleem, Brother Aleem, we, you know, for those 4.5, we can parse this for months and months on different parts of what the minister said, but it is something that he touched everyone. Something his message touched everyone, and it was so beautiful to see those that came stand there, those that had technical problems that was watching virtually. They ran to every which way to find whatever new network to get on to finish the message, and they stayed tuned, they stayed locked in, and the replays and people going back to study. So it was just a beautiful thing to prepare, and I think the mindset for me is, like you said, whatever the minister wants to give us, let us give it. Just let us be here and alive to be there and to make sure that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is able to comfortably and securely deliver what God has put into him. And as we have watched so many times before, he has the notes, he has the preparation, the research done. Whether he gets to it or not, God, Allah, always gives him what is best for us and what is needed for our guidance in these days that we live in. So we do have callers lined up, and our Sister Rona is on the boards, and we're going to go to them in 1 second. But Dr. Aleem, before we go up into our second hour of the show, any reflection that you want to start off with on the swan song, anything that stuck out to you? Because I heard the one, I can't live without the truth.
Right. You know, and Honorable Louis Farrakhan said that, you know, and this is a quote, you know, I'm singing a swan song because if you don't change, death will find you soon. And if you don't change, he said, you're too comfortable in iniquity. We sin like we breathe. And then he goes, he said, damn. Sin has that effect on us. We don't even have a conscience anymore to say, oh, no, I ain't going to do that anymore. We sin and love it. That's why we keep going back to it. So I'm singing a swan song because the God that is on the scene today is a God of truth and righteousness. And if you play a game with God, he will leave you where you are. And then he was very personal in the things that he talked about. I mean, it was very personal how he laid out many of the trials that he went through to be worthy to sit in the mercy seat of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And looking at his fellow, his companions, when he looked at Malcolm and Muhammad Ali and Iman Wather Dean Muhammad, you know, and how he gently dealt with them, you know, but yet in another sense held them up as an example that how we must stay in God's class. And the minister talked about what would happen to us when we walk away from these teachings. So what I came away with, brother, again, is that I can't live without the truth, you know? And I'm about that separation, brother. It's in my mind, but first thing I want to do is separate myself from behavior that is not worthy of a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's the first separation. And what he was saying to us, because we got to build character. We got to act like him. That doesn't mean we cut our hair like him. We get cufflinks like him. You know, we try to get suit. We try to, you know that kind of thing. Sometimes they say imitation is one of the greatest forms of flattery. But when he's not into flattery and all that vanity kind of stuff. And brother, you know, when a man talks about you before the whole world, I'm glad he didn't say my name, but he talked about me before the whole world, brother. But I'll tell this bunch right here, when he talked about my minister in New Orleans, when the Baptist preacher got up there dead during Hurricane Katrina, that was me he was talking about. I said that at the table.
Come on.
Because if I don't mind being corrected by the Messiah while he's here, because I'd rather he know, get me straight now before he leaves, so that I don't wind up killing myself and others in his absence. In other words, you know, so I take that correction, and I want the whole nation to learn from that. But brother and sister, I go back to our supreme wisdom lessons, instructions to laborers, actual facts, student enrollment, lesson number one, lesson number two, English lesson C1, and a problem book. Pick it back up again, brothers and sisters, because what Master Father Muhammad gave us in that supreme wisdom unlocks Bible and Holy Quran, and helps you and I to be stable, because understand that point number 12 has to be our foundation. If we do not hold on and understand point number 12, then all the rest unravels. There is no mother plane. There's no such thing as Yaqub. You understand? There's no Shabazz going down into the jungles 50,000 years ago. There's no deportation of the moon. God didn't create himself, and the second self of God is not woman. You have to understand, Master Fahd Muhammad, you got to have your faith in Allah, who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, and him raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being physically alive. If you don't grasp that, whether you believe it or not, you got to grasp it, you got to do the work, and you got to wrestle with that in your mind to know that the minister is going up to yonder. And when he says going up to yonder, understand this, brother, and I'm sorry to make this quick turn, but think about them believers that lined up that Sunday morning.
Come on.
It was a little cold. It wasn't freezing, but it was cold.
Yes,
but
sir.
I know that what you, as one of the kind of protocol / security / everything you be doing, you're E-man, you be doing everything at these events, handling celebrities along with Don Enoch and others like that, you know what I mean? I see you, brother. I see you working. But,
yes, sir.
But I want you to have a little out-of-body experience and look at it from a bird's eye view. What did the enemy see when they seen people lining up in the cold first thing in the morning in an orderly fashion to come out and be a man that they hate? What does the enemy see when they're looking at us over the internet and they're seeing our babies drilling during the drill competition, and particularly when they see our sisters, our Vanguard, our junior Vanguard drilling and our junior FOI? They know that they didn't make them children. So understand the mindset of our enemy. It's not just Minister Farrakhan, brother. They know that they're going to have to go down and get rid of us down to our babies. So why do we must separate? My brother, attorney, and friend, Brother Warren Muhammad down here made a case for separation. He wrote a book called Case for Separation. And we just can forget about it. We're not going to fit into this society, because Sister Lorraine Muhammad, the wife of my brother, my colleague, my friend, Brother Abdul Hafiz Muhammad. I love him. I miss him so much. Wrote a book called Black Integration, A Failed Social Experiment. You should get that book, Black Integration, A Failed Social Experiment. Man, look, brother. So I just go and I simply say to us, beloved, before we go to the phones, you know, for me, it all boils down to the fact that our enemies are not all together. They're divided about Mr. Farrakhan and us. Just like the Jews in the time of Jesus were divided. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't agree on resurrection and the afterlife. The Pharisees believed in resurrection and the afterlife. The Sadducees didn't. And the sensitivity of the Jews is this, is that anytime you criticize one of them and you say Jew with that person, Harvey Weinstein or somebody like that, right? Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, anything you say about them, they're very sensitive and they want somebody inside the nation or somebody black to kill Minister Farrakhan. Hear me.
That's right.
Because they are blamed by the Christians, the European Christians blame them for killing Jesus. It's a thing called deicide. Deicide. D-E-I-C-I-D-E-D-E. Deicide. Meaning the death of a god. They're blamed. So what they say the Jews killed Christ. And they were persecuted because of that. No, it wasn't all Jews. It was those Jews that were among them. So there are groups of Jews among them that know that Minister Farrakhan is the Messiah. They know who Elijah Muhammad is. They know who Elijah is that comes before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They know that there's a messianic era that was ushered in with the appearance of Master Fahd Muhammad among us. They know since we were battling with the secular underworld of them in Detroit, the Purple Gang was running all of the numbers, the prostitution, the gambling, the liquor, all of that. And here, 25,000 black people pop up. They stop drinking. They stop smoking. They stop prostitution. They stop gambling. They stop all of that. They eat one meal a day. And they find out when they arrest Master Fahd Muhammad, they find all these forms. They're taking the children out of the public school. We've been banging with them since the 30s, man. They know who we are. And there's a
That's
group
right.
of them that just say, if we don't get rid of them, if we don't get rid of them down to their children, then they will do to us what those other folk did to us. And let me close with this point, brother. Why they put myself, and let me speak to this for a moment. I don't mind the ADL put me on their hit list. I don't mind that. But putting Sister Ava on there, if you're a man in the nation, it raises a certain kind of feeling in your heart that you put a woman on your hit list. I know Sister Ava can handle her business, man. Hey. But I'm telling you, it does something to me to think that they will put a woman on this hit list as they're going to try to guide the nation after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And they're watching us. Who's going to influence what? Who's the anti-Semite? Who's this? Them people study us, man, like you study experiments in a laboratory. So let me wind it down by simply saying this to them and to us. You will not be successful.
That's right.
And if you study the history of what they call anti-Semitism throughout the centuries and all the things that they've gone through, and especially culminating with what Adolf Hitler did to them, you can't use the words control, power, influence. You can't. They get hypersensitive about that, okay? But if they do not influence or control or have power over the media, then what Joseph Goebbels did to them in Germany could happen again. If they don't control the political apparatus, then what Adolf Hitler did after the Reichstag got burned down will happen again. If they do not control certain aspects of economics, then what happened to them in Nazi Germany and in Poland and all of those Eastern European companies where they set up the death camps and all that will happen again. So they'd be a fool not to control those things. The only thing we're saying to them from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is leave us alone. Leave us alone. Stop destroying our businesses. Stop messing with us. Leave our black leadership alone and let us do what God has put for us to do, and that is to fulfill his mission and coming to putting us on top of civilization. Stop fighting that, and God has a place for you if you will help us. But if you don't help us, know that it's not us you're fighting. You're fighting a God that's backing Minister Farrakhan and the Christ that has power in his hands. That's all I have to say. Let's go to the phone, brother.
Woo! Yeah, man, that's all you had to say. That was like drop the mic and let's say goodnight.
No, let's hear from the believers, brother.
No, no, we definitely are going to hear from the believers. And that was just a beautiful closeout in the transition, because like you said, you're not fighting them against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan per se. You're fighting those that back him, the God, the Christ, the Mahdi. And he is the Messiah. And we want to thank Sister Landry. Not only is she promoting her book, but she also let us know that you can also go to Amazon.com and get Black Integration, Failed Social Experiment. Black Integration, A Failed Social Experiment is also on Amazon.com. If you want to go ahead and get that, she tweeted that out, Sister Landry Muhammad. So make sure that you go ahead and check that and get that book. So I appreciate you for listening and jumping on here. And once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Our sister Dr. Ava may call in, but she wasn't able to be on tonight. But we have a very wonderful and great host, our brother, student minister Abdul Halim from Houston, Texas, on the line tonight. But as we always do, we want to go straight to the phone, straight to the callers, and of course, straight from Mecca, Detroit. Our first caller, Sister Ula, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
Sister Ula.
I thank Allah for you, brother Dr. Aline, because I have been trying to contact you. After I talked to you, I did as you suggested, and I got back in school working on my doctoral degree. But then they came with this extenuating circumstances, and because I had been out of school for 8 months, I lost a lot of money. It affected my bills. I wanted to ask you, in the name of Allah, sir, because I do want to complete my doctoral degree. I'm approximately halfway through. Do you have any suggestions on how I can deal with this extenuating circumstances so that I can continue and finish my doctoral degree, sir?
Well, what I'd like to do, Sadola, if you would, if you don't have my number, I'd like to get it to you so we could talk about it kind of offline, so I can understand the nuances of your extenuating circumstances. I'll give you myself as an example, dear sister. I finished all of my coursework, right? And then I went to work. I had got a contract as a consultant, and my firm did consultant work for the light rail system that they were building here in Houston. And so, I kind of was making money, and then I'm traveling. I went to China, and all of a sudden, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in China, and my phone rings, and it's my one of my professors, who actually was the chairperson of my dissertation committee, and she said, "Mr. Muhammad," I said, "Yes, how you doing, Dr. Smith?" She says, "Are you going to ever finish your doctoral program?" I had to go back. I had let some things lapse, so I had to go and reapply certain things and get back really in the program. So it's possible to be done. I just don't know what your extenuating circumstances are, but Brother Terrence knows how to get in touch with you, because obviously your number pops up on there. And I ask you, Brother Terrence, if you can through whomever is monitoring the phone calls and working the board for us, and send her my phone number so we can talk.
Yes, sir.
You can do it, sister. You can do it. Like Simon
thank you,
you can make it if you try.
thank you, because right after I talked to you, I did, like you said, I contacted the provost. I contacted the president. I still, about three or four people you suggested, and they approved me coming back to school. And I was so mm-hmm. happy. I did 1 week, and then this extenuating circumstances hit me like I can't think of the word. I'm just so glad Allah answered my prayers, because I had wanted to talk to you and ask you what moves to make.
Well, you could do it, dear sister. You can do it.
That is,
you know, the thing I love about being a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that, you know, first of all, we got to be believers. You know,
that's
we
right.
have to be
that's
believers.
Right.
And being a believer, minister told me, he said, told me to my face one morning in coffee. He said, brother, yeah, he appreciated the fact that I got this degree. But he said, I want you to master the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So all these books I got in my library and all of that, they mean nothing compared to the wisdom that's in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So go to your prayer rug, start off, because we're entering into Easter, Passover, and Ramadan coming up. And I just believe, sister, that if we go to the God in prayer and ask for a blessing in the name of his Christ and the Messiah, I just believe, sister, that your way will be made smoother. It may not be totally smooth, but it'll be made smoother, because struggle is ordained. We're going to have to struggle for anything that's worthwhile.
Sir, I just wanted to say this. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, where he said that thing he asked Allah for, he gave it to him. And you, all praise to Allah, have been an answer to my prayer. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar. All praise you to Allah. Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Thank you. That was a great call. Thank you, Sister Ula. Now, Brother Darryl, welcome to the show, Brother Darryl.
As-salamu alaykum, beloved. Happy Savior's Day to everyone on the panel.
Happy Savior's Day.
Well, thank you for love.
To you, Brother Amul, I appreciate what you're saying. You just sparked what we all have went through. Even though I was born and raised in the nation, but I'm still, when you said when the minister said he was going to get to everybody's number on the swan song. So what happened is he touched my old number, my new number, everything. We all have to get back into the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's why the minister said, stay in the class, don't leave it. What I was liking, when you mentioned about how the minister was telling us that we have to understand, if he don't leave us and do what he have to do, we're going to fall further and further behind, because you hit a great point. He said, we love seeing it like we breathe. And once we wake up and started cleaning up, because we all are falling victim, even those that's in the teaching have, some of us have took the shot, you know. So what I like about saying, the minister said, if he, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if we continue to allow us to continue to live the way we do, we have to stop the white man first, because it says if he don't stop him now, he'll get the tree of life and live forever. So that's why we can't get the new teachings revealed right now. And also, you remember the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had us to watch that back when I was young. And it was touching into the teachings then. Then here come independence, you know. Then a brother from another planet, all of these motion pictures or anything that they bring out, they're talking about us and preparing us. So what I'm trying to get, and those that are buying land, even though I lost my sight doing surgery, but what I'm trying to do with the 3 acres I have is that we all try to come together throughout the nation. And those that have land, we need to be able to touch the base. And if there's anything that you could help me with, or anyone to help guide me through, because I want to secure the whole land, because I know what's getting ready to happen. That's the point. I'm pretty much self-sufficient. I have my own well, and that's the main thing. Like you said, they're fighting over water. I have my own well. I've been drinking off this water that Allah has provided from his earth. I've been drinking off of it for 20 years. So, you know, the water's getting sky high and everything. So I'm just trying to understand that we need to come together, even though we got believers in Georgia, Atlanta, and all throughout the nation is buying land, but we have to see about coming together, how we cultivate and protect this, because it's going to get ugly after the minister leaves. So that's the main thing. My heart go out to the brother that Sister Pamela was talking about. There was 17 I thought I was going to hit the worst part, which he got raped, but the worst part, they killed him, you know. So this has to be addressed, too. We have to definitely separate from this enemy. I love you all. May Allah continue to bless you all. Happy Savior's Day again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. Yes, sir.
I mean, that's it. I mean, there it is. We already know. Get our own water, get our own land, and sustain ourselves. Project separation is in motion. It's definitely in motion. So let's keep going down south or go in south. I mean, go down south to Memphis to Brother Hoyo. Welcome to the show.
As-salamu alaykum to my
family. As-salamu alaykum.
Student Minister Dr. Helene. Excellent job you're doing, soldier, and Sister Pamela and Sister Rona and Big Brother Terrence. All praises due to Allah. But beautiful show, beautiful show. Dr. Aleem, it's you were right. It's beautiful how you were talking about the swan song, and he was teaching on us. He says God is not to be played with. God is not an overcoat that you can put on when it's cold outside. And, you know, and
right.
You know, we get drunk in our iniquity. And he said God is a God of truth and righteousness. He loves you, but you got to love yourself. He said, listen, Elijah Muhammad said to us one day, brother, if Allah left me for a fraction of a second, you would see a walking fool. And he said, think about that, Elijah Muhammad, a walking fool. So that's one thing about it. We have to stay in constant prayer, constant connection with Allah. And I was going to bring some information. I know Dr. Lean knows about this, how the black students over there, they're trapping the black students in Ukraine. They won't even let them leave. I put a post up, and they're trying to get out of there, and they're telling them to fight in the war. And then it's a group text that's coming out talking about the cyber war, you know, how they're going to shut down the electric grid and all of this. But this is just evidence of us having to separate. And and since you're in the planning, Dr. Aline, what's your take on us maybe as a nation trying to deal with electric energy? And so,
well, again,
electric cars.
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, as Brother Terrence pointed out, you know, we're living in the world of a rebel. This is the enemy of God. And everything that he touches is almost like death. You know, death comes in on that pale horse. Behold the pale horse. Mm-hmm. So he's killing the earth, but the earth will strike back. I don't know if I don't know if you were in Houston in the time where there used to be on Channel 13 here, ABC, our ABC affiliate, it used to be like a 3 o'clock movie to come on. And these 3 o'clock movies would have these themes. And 1 week it would be disaster week. You know, so it would be like, you know, like nature strikes back week, you know.
Right.
And what's happening is that when they violate the laws, you know, Allah set the first law was motion. The second law was order. And in that order is law, regulation, ordinance, and all that. And people who break those laws, they ultimately bring disorder to the society, to the world, and ultimately they bring death to themselves. So, yes, brother, I'm for electrification, electric vehicles, and solar power, and all of that. But remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said, one day people are going to come over here and they're going to teach us everything we need to know about nation, including the peaceful and non-peaceful use of the atom. So there's a whole range of everything. And then I go back to our lessons, brother. What did our lessons talk about? Mr. Muhammad cracked the atom into 10 million parts. Let me ask you something, brother. I want you to think about this. The FBI comes in and the police come in and raid the temple. They take the blackboard with the teaching of the mother plane on it. They take the lessons.
Yes, sir.
Because I've got a book called The FBI File on Nation of Islam, and it shows some of the lessons. They got lessons.
Yes, sir.
They found a man with a third grade going to a fourth grade education with lessons about cracking atoms, lessons about Yaqub. You can mock Yaqub all you want to, but in the end, about Yaqub, you're talking about genetic engineering.
And this is why the minister, just from the study of the lessons and divine revelation, told us not to take that vaccine because it ain't a vaccine. These
right.
people are messing with the RNA and the DNA, which is the language of God that he programs us. We are direct descendants of God, and these people are trying to interfere with our connection with God by giving us this vaccine. It ain't a vaccine.
That's right.
It's really death yes. itself.
Right.
So
yes, sir.
I go back to what you're saying, brother. Anything we have to have, let me put it like this, in order to be sustainable and resilient, in what we're planning, our transition from dependency to independence and resilience, we have to
yes,
be able to look at energy, food, health care, transportation, all of these things. We have to look at how we can have backups to the backup. In other words,
yes,
we may be on the grid, but we need to have something that if the grid fails, how do we have a backup? And then we need
yes,
to have
sir.
A backup. As brother previous to your caller, he talked about having water, having a water well. So he has his own water.
You know,
some of us have to have our own food. We got chickens. We're growing eggs. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're going to have to learn how to barter one with another. We're going to have to give value to what each other has beyond the value system set up by the enemy, dollar cents. No, man, if I'm hungry and you got some eggs, what will
mm-hmm.
I give you that I have of value for them eggs? You know what I mean? We have to learn how to set up our own system of dealing one with another. I don't want to go too far in that, brother, but I just simply say that I'm for the electric cars and all that. I'm for solar paneling and for the battery
mm-hmm.
backup. I'm for those generators. I'm for whatever it's going to do to help us sustain us through the fall of America, brother. I'm for that.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a little information right before I go. You know, the South, where I live in Memphis and Mississippi and all that area, it's a big aquifer area. So this is a huge water table here. So just, to, you know, for your information, you know, all of Memphis, Mississippi, where I grew up, it was, you can just dig 5 feet. And, you know, that's why we can't have basements here, because of the high water table here in Memphis and Mississippi, North Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and I think East Texas too. But this is a high aquifer level, you know, just for your information if you didn't know.
Well, one of the things we have to do as we're purchasing real estate and selling real estate
mm-hmm.
is always look, always not only have surface rights, but have your mineral rights.
Yes,
your
sir.
Mineral rights. So that
mm-hmm.
so that if you buy a piece of land, you can drill down in that land and whatever's under it is yours too.
Yes, sir.
So, I thank you for that, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your information. Praise be to Allah.
Oh, praise be to
Allah.
And you also.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Hoare, and I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Halim. You know, that's, Brother Halim, that is very, 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 very key in buying land, the mineral rights, and because people will extract the minerals out of your land if you don't have that. But we definitely already come to the rest of the callers. We do not want to miss them because I got direct instructions to make sure that we get to the callers. And as Dr. Halim said, we want to hear from the believers. But I gotta make a grand announcement, just a grand announcement. We will bless myself and Student Minister Abdul Halim to be co-host today on this show tonight. But I got a word from a little bird that this sister named Dr. Ava Muhammad, the national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is listening in somewhere in an undisclosed location, and she may allow us to hear her voice tonight. I just wanted to let y'all know that she is on the line, so y'all can start clapping and be happy about that. So I'm listening. I'm listening. Okay. Well, she's not coming on right now, but she is tuned in. So I will go ahead to the next.
Assalamu alaikum. I had it on mute. I'm so sorry. Congratulations. This is phenomenal. Congratulations. And I just want to say very quickly, please tune in to Building Our Promised Land, the Zoom program that is conducted monthly on Elevated Places Network, where we showcase land acquisition And we've done that for quite some time. Sister Donna Muhammad and Brother Cartier are the co-hosts. But we really took it to a new level 2 days ago on Tuesday, and I think Sister Donna will eventually come on and talk about it. But I want to really thank Brother Minister Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad, Brother Kamal Muhammad, Brother Fahim Muhammad. It was absolutely incredible taking the separation movement to the next level with the realities of what they are doing on the Detroit Met, because as we're all aware, the sun now will be rising in the west spiritually, and Detroit, Michigan is in fact the new Mecca. And we were instructed, the whole nation, the 40 to 60 million, to go in and take Detroit a number of years ago by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And these brothers really gave us an in-depth lesson in how to make that happen and what they're doing to make it happen. That's all I have to say tonight. I'm going to be listening. This is great.
Well, praise be to Allah. See, y'all got to tune in, and y'all get these special guests that come on their own show and just drop something on, just steps to the side. So we're going to go back to the phone and welcome Brother John to the show. Welcome to the show, Brother John. Brother John, are you there? One more time for Brother John. All right, Brother John. Let's go to Brother Derek. Welcome to the show, Brother Derek. All right. Let's go to Sister Peggy.
Hello?
Oh, that's Brother John. Derek? Who is this?
Something is going on with the speaker, you all, but I can get that.
Okay.
Okay,
but who is this?
Hello?
All right, we'll come back. Let's go. Is this Brother Derek? All right, so I'm just asking. Say again.
I just called back. I'm too much.
Okay. Are you good, Brother Derek?
It's not coming in, but it sounds like y'all speaking more slow. So I don't know what's going on with the phone. They just think they just don't want to hear the truth tonight. That's all.
Okay, but. Okay, well, Lake Islam, thank you for calling. All right, let's go. I don't know what's going with the phone line, but we're going to make it happen. Sister Peggy, let's go to Sister Peggy. Welcome to the show, Sister Peggy.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum and happy Savior's Day.
Well, Lake Islam, happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day.
Okay. Okay, Brother Dr. Halim.
Yes.
Okay. And my aunt, Brother Dr. Halim, do you have a product?
Yes.
I mean, do you have a project in Houston like the Mecca Project in Detroit? Because I have a niece who is a civil engineer, and I would like for her to get your number so that she can talk to you about how she could be helpful in any kind of way if you need her.
Sure.
She wants to help out. Her name is Shahada. She is a Sunni Muslim. She lives in Spring, though. And I just thought that maybe it would be a good idea for her to talk to you and to get her name on your list. So in case you have projects, you can call her. She wants to help. She wants to be a sir.
I look forward to it. You
okay. She wants to be of help.
You can email me her. Yeah, you can email me her number if you want to. Haleem@nteplanning.com. N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, E as in Edward, planning.com. Haleem, H-A-L-E-E-M.
Oh, I didn't get, okay. H-A-L, Haleem.
E-E-M at nteplanning.com.
This one more time, it's Haleem at nteplanning.com.
Right.
Okay.
NTE stands for Nation Time Enterprises.
Okay. And she also wants to talk to you. I think she wants to get some advice from you about running for an office in spring or something like that. But she really does want to be of help to the nation. And I said, well, you're a civil engineer. I'm sure that there are going to be some projects that the brother is going to be working on. He can always call you.
Sure. Well, I'm always open to those who want to come and help and do something for self. There's a whole world out here, you know. Islam
mm-hmm.
is a world, sister. You know, yeah, I've been given a territory of 5 states, but Islam is a world. And
mm-hmm.
Engineering being the basis of nation building, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach us, 3 of my 4 sons are engineers. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that opens up the whole world for us. So let's get in touch. Have her get in touch. Send me her information. Inshallah, I'll reach out to her, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sister.
Bye.
Right. Thank you very much. So we got somebody from Tuesday night that's going to come on the show. I think her name is Grasshopper. No, Sister Donna. Welcome to the show, Sister Donna.
Assalamu alaikum.
And
greetings to everybody on the line tonight. Brother Terrence doing a great job co-hosting, Student Minister Haleem, guest co-host, and Student Minister Ava, and the executive producer extraordinaire, Sister Rona and Sister Pamela. I'll be very brief because really Student Minister Haleem, when he did the recap of the program Tuesday night, I mean, I don't even know if there's anything to add on to that. It was really profound. What I do like, as Student Minister Ava said, is we took a new level or a new, almost like a new direction, because you are coming on and really dealing with the Detroit Mecca Project and Brother Fahim giving us the groundwork for what's all necessary to plan a community. So that gives us now a focused direction. We do get calls from people regarding and emails regarding project separation, and people want to know, you know, where to go, what to do. Well, that Highland Park corridor, and I encourage everybody to go back to projectseparation.com and review the Tuesday night presentation. You can also view it on YouTube on the Project Separation channel. But that's it. That's the focus, and it is in line. That is definitively one of the places we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan directed us to, making Detroit our Mecca. And so our brothers are already clearing the way. There's a beautiful proposal that has been laid out, what can be done with the Highland Park corridor. So we have somewhere that we can start movement. So we really want everybody to tune in to the next one, because we'll get even more focused attention, and we'll make sure the notification goes out early enough to spread the word, because now, you know, we're in 2022. 2022 has to be about movement. It has to be about focused direction, and that's what we highlighted. And just lastly, I wanted to add this, tying it into the swan song. I'm thinking about the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, Allah will turn you to that which you turn yourself. I also think in terms of separation. I have to turn my mind towards separation, but I have to be made fit. We have to be made fit for separation, and that is one of the things that we discussed, as you mentioned, Brother Haleem, is the covenants, the deeds, to be made fit and civilized so that we can have something that lasts and sustains forever, and not go the way that we have seen through the cycles of time. So turning ourselves to that which we turn ourselves, let's take it away from negative and turn it into positive. So that's all that I would like to share this evening. I'm really enjoying this highly enlightening program. And so with that, I bid you adieu. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Man, I appreciate Sister Donna for all the work she's working and doing with Project Separation and making sure that we're still on task and focus. You know, this Elevated Places Network is full of such skilled believers and that have such great skill sets that also have the eye of identifying others that have skill sets. So it's a beautiful thing, Brother Halim, when we see not only, you know, us working in the fields, but we can identify as the minister, identify different people and see the beauty and the gifts in all of us that can contribute to this nation. And I think, you know, when the minister was back going as he was banned from college campuses and then recently a couple of years ago, he was able to get back on some of these college campuses and reaching these students and really talking to them and helping them to understand what is your major and how is your major going to be utilized for the building of your nation and how can you use your degree and your knowledge that you're getting from the universities to build yourself and your own community. So it's a good thing that we're having these discussions with people. And let me just say this, the beauty of Tuesday night is that you all didn't just come not only with the teaching, but you also came with some actual tangible things that people need to really do. Because sometimes we can be out in space and not really know the science and the mathematics and the things that are really needed for city planning, development, and all of the nuances to do to develop cities and communities and towns. So there was a real good discussion that people need to really go back and delve into. On YouTube, you can see it, Project Separation.
Oh, praise is due to Allah, brother. We got work to do, and we're going to have to really get serious, sane and sober about it. Remember the minister said that he spoke to just about every black group you can think of.
Right.
So when you think about that, then the light of the sun of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has touched. Not only that, but remember he said that the preachers are no longer his enemy, no longer the messenger's enemies. You remember that? So he has touched the souls of people, yet we have to be aware. We have to always have our antennas up. Remember in the Swan Song, the ministers, he went over to Iran. He told them that the Mahdi had come. Now, the Shiites, they're like, well, we don't think that man was the Mahdi. Because the minister just basically said, you don't think that he'll come to some black folk over in America. That's really kind of hit him with a lick. The civil world is never going to accept the fact that the son of Islam is rising from the West. They'll be forced to. That the Mahdi has visited us and the Messiah, and the Mahdi and the Messiah is coming from us. And the Christians have been selling, you know, have been sold and are selling the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. And lastly, again, the Jews know that the Messiah is to come. They know. And so there's a split among those. Is it a messianic age? Will really a Messiah show up to put us back to the promised land? And then there's a group that said, oh, hell no, we're just going to take the land. So, again, you look at what's happening in Ukraine, and they are now evacuating Ukrainian Jews into Israel, and where do you think they're going to settle them? They're going to settle them on Palestinian land. I'm telling you, man, this thing is a tinderbox. It's going to be like one of them forest fires, Brother Terrence. You know how amber will go from the forest fire and blow, and the wind will blow it somewhere else, and they'll start a whole other 100,000 acres of land burning up? Well,
exactly.
You know, we have a divine man in our midst. And the thing about us, brothers and sisters, is that, again, I always refer back to our lessons, because our lessons teach us and frame our mind and hardwire us to cause and effect. Cause and effect. And that's how we have to operate. There's a cause and an effect.
And looking at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, remember now he said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made him a master of conditions, master of circumstance, and a master of the enemy. Man, I'm so happy to walk with that man, you know, from God. And
that's
as,
right.
as my brother Abdul Hakim out of London said, you know, don't mistake our love for Mr. Farrakhan for worship. He's taught us to
that's
worship
right.
no God but Allah. And I'll
that's
make
right.
this point to each and every one of us. It kind of goes like this. At the first anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, they had an event called Hands Around the Dome. And we literally circled and put our hands around. We had enough people to circle and hold hands and surround the dome. But there's a prominent black sister, I won't say her name, but she was holding my hand, and I was holding her hand, she was a little frustrated that kind of, you know, black folk sometimes are not well organized, and it's a little frustrating. She said, Lord,
right.
this is what she said. She said, Lord, help us when Minister Farrakhan is no longer here. And I turned to her and I asked her, I said, who you think been helping us this far?
You know? Right.
That's how we have to think.
Right.
That's how we have to think. If we line our mind up with Mr. Farrakhan, whose mind is lined up with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and God in person, brother and sister, we got three backing us. So
that's
come
right.
on. Come on, y'all. Gird up your loins and be of a single-minded purpose of fulfilling, making the word of the honorable Elijah Muhammad bond. Let's get us some of this earth we can call our own and govern our own affairs. Anybody
yes,
else?
Sir.
Want to
yes, sir.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, no,
with the
no.
Boss.
We definitely got somebody else. We got somebody down there laying some acreage of watermelons, plant some watermelon down there in Georgia, and I saw some wheat
Woo!
Fields.
I know who that
turkeys,
is.
Wild turkeys in the field, though. But we got Dr. Ridgely on the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And assalamu alaikum and happy Savior's Day. Oh.
Well,
happy Savior's Day to you, Doc.
Happy Savior's Day.
All right. Well, all right, Dr. Doc. Yes, we need some land. But let me try to make this thing simple for you, that you remember this. Number one, economics is the Jews' religion. Number two, money is their God. Number three, they use money and the pay scales for what they pay people to work to control where you're going to go. For instance, yes, we need land, but let me explain to you what's been happening over the last 50 to 60 years with the returns to agriculture, the returns to equity that has been invested in agriculture versus the returns to equity in the other fields where people put their money. I'm going to make this simple. Let's suppose that you have a league, a basketball league, and you got five teams. The farming team can pay its players $10,000. The mining team can pay its players $80,000. The manufacturing team can pay its players $90,000. The wholesaling team can pay its players $95,000. And the retailing team can pay its players $110,000. Let me ask you this. Each year they have a tournament and they have a championship. How many times in 10 years will the farming team win the championship? Remember now, you can the farming team can pay your players $10,000. The mining, manufacturing, wholesaling, and retailing can pay their team members between $80,000 and $110,000. So I ask the question, how many times in 10 years will the farming team win a championship? Let me help you out. Zero.
Right.
Because it's not going to be able to get the type of qualified players to win a championship when everybody else can get eight times more money. You can get eight times more money in the retailing, the mining, the manufacturing, the wholesaling. Each one of those pay over eight times more money than the farmer can pay his help. So who the hell you think gonna win? If we could pay $60,000 a year down here at the farm, I can get any damn body I want down here. But the price that we get for the products that we produce would not allow us to pay people that type of salary. So we struggle. But there is no mystery God. The enemy has put a things unbalanced. He's got a system that pays mining, manufacturing, wholesaling, and retailing, those industries, eight times more than the return you will get for putting your capital in the farming. So over the last 60 years, they have drained the farming sector of capital and expertise. And now we want to get into farming at this time when it costs a hell of a lot of money to get into it, and you don't get a hell of a lot of money for the product that you sell to the people because the people don't want to pay for a product that they got to cook. So I just leave y'all with that. Remember now, we got five teams, farming, mining, manufacturing, wholesaling, and retailing, and all those other teams get eight times more money for whatever they put into it than the farming team. Who you think gonna win? As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, wa alaykum
salam. Wa alaykum salam.
And that's why, Brother Terrence, that's why I brought up on Tuesday agrarian urbanism, whereby you and I set up a system that it's a community that literally is built around agrarian activity, agricultural activity. And it allows that farming community to do light manufacturing so that you can have value added. What he's talking about is that who wants to come work for little or nothing?
Right.
So if we take a product and we bring it close to its almost its final usable form or productive form and allow them to package it, to process it, package it, and to ship it out, then you've got into some of what he's talking about. You've not only just grown it, now you're manufacturing it, now you're marketing it, and that gives you an opportunity to have more income and thereby not be on that losing team that's never going to win a championship. So I understand exactly what he's talking about.
You know something, Brother Halim, you know, I was blessed to be at Alton Sterling's funeral with you, the brother that got murdered in Baton Rouge. And you spoke, yeah. And something that you, what you just, I want you to kind of go back to the word that you delivered at Alton Sterling's funeral that literally had that whole, that everybody in there just erupted. You just had that place, it just erupted. Because one of the things you said was not, you know, you talked about Alton Sterling having the right to sell his CDs. But then you just kind of kept breaking it down. Not only can he sell, you know, have the right to sell his CDs, but he needs to have the right to own the store to sell the CDs. But then you just kept going back. Can you kind of go back and play that back? And I think you know what I'm talking about, going all the way back to the process of what we need to own, not just allowing our brother just to be on the corner to sell the CD.
Right. It's what was experienced during the pandemic was the interference in the logistical supply chain. All I did was really talk about that. He's selling CDs outside of the store, and the police came and they murdered our brother, all right? He had a right to sell those CDs, but he also had a right to own that store. But he also had a right in terms to own the manufacturers that made the CDs. And he had a right to own the petrochemical plant that produced the plastic that made the CDs, and he also had a right to own the oil well that the oil came from and the earth that that oil well came from. I think that's, I kind of ran it down like that. And that's really what it boils down to, brother, is controlling the logistical supply chain from the field to the meal. And that way we know where it comes from. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad already gave us the blueprint, but he gave us a blueprint in the mini nation, the mosque-based nation, that really was for the greater nation. As Minister Farrakhan pointed out in the swan song, brothers and sisters, we have to think for the whole and speak for the whole. That's how we have to be planning for the whole 40 to 50 million. And really the whole 4 billion 400 million plus. That's how we got to be thinking. So we have to think big. We got to think big. But we have to pay attention to the details. First and foremost is the building of character. Because when we get to the pinnacle of this world's life, as Minister Farrakhan has, because of the way that Allah has built him and the trials that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put him through to make him worthy to sit in the mercy seat, you know, we got to go through our own trials. We got to pick up our own cross. We have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him in the way that he's gone. And if we follow him, we'll be successful, and then our success won't come to our heads. As ministers talked about, he talked about, you know, God putting a spark of himself in all of us, and then he said, and then comes the jackass. We begin to think that we are, instead of being like Jesus, in spite of the fact that Jesus and his Father were one, as he stated, but he said, I myself can do nothing. And that's how we have to think in terms of not I, me, and mine, but us, our, and we.
Exactly. We are a nation. We are a nation. And, you know, this has been an excellent and a wonderful show, and we are down to our last nearly 7-8 minutes. I don't know if our sister is available to jump back on with any closing thoughts, because if not, Brother Halim, we want to hear from you, but I want to see if she may want to come back on. I'm not sure if she's available or not. I know she blessed us with a few words.
No, I'm still here listening and sort of scrolling on the board, too, because Brother Cartier, who's a very gifted asset to the Nation of Islam, was on, but I think he dropped off.
Yes, I was looking for him to come back myself.
Yes, he's been co-moderating and been very insightful in developing some of these program themes. But my only word is that this is a powerful program, and we're just skimming the surface now of the swan song. And, of course, the best way to comprehend and appreciate and save ourselves, because remember he referred to us as, he said, when you hear your note, hold it in your mind. And he said that if we were able to, I don't have his exact words in front of me, but if we could properly develop our note that was custom designed for us, that he gave during the criterion, then we would have the ability to come out of death once again into life. And thereby he was letting us know we're still in a death state. We are not in the grave where we are unable to hear, see, think, or move, but we are not yet alive either. And the big field awaits the wide awake man. So we have a lot of work to do on self, and that means getting into, Brother Hoyle mentioned the class, and that important class that tends to get left out is self-improvement, the basis for community development. That is a revelatory, that's a divinely develop course that given to us through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in truth, it was capped off on the 27th of February. It is a must study message that we need to hear again and read once that becomes available to us.
That's right. Yes,
so much. Thank you, brother Minister Abdul Halim Muhammad, so much for all that you do. And Brother Terrence and the whole Elevated Places team, thank you all.
No, thank you. And you spoke our brother up. Brother Carter is on. His mic is live, and he's right here. He called in, and he came back on. So, Brother Carter, welcome to the show.
Hey, assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
It's not much to say after that. That was a beautiful close, Sister Dr. Ava. I wanted to mention something that Sister Pamela mentioned earlier about the police reform in regards to I think he's the mayor of New York, starting to take a more of a heavy-handed approach when it comes now to being tough on crime. And we're seeing the same thing here in Chicago and Illinois, especially Cook County, with these string of carjacks and stuff that we've had. And the promise of reform, the promise of change when it's come to police, and so quickly went away, and now they want to go back to what they've done in the past, which is usually what they always do. But what I wanted to bring to our attention is, and I try to be brief because I know we only got a couple minutes. Just when it comes to policing, I think we have to have the same attitude that we have when it comes to everything else. Meaning we have to take that responsibility into our own hands and provide for us what we know these other groups can't provide for us. It's just as simple as that. There's not necessarily anything wrong with being tough on crime as it is the motive for why you're being tough on crime. Are you being tough on crime because you love the black community, you love black families, you love black business, and you want to see them thrive, and you want to deal with any enemy, foreign and domestic, that gets in the way of that progress? Or are you tough on crime because you want to use your authority in the black community as a form of social harassment? So my call to the brothers would be, take up the mission. You know, take up the mission. The black community needs black men, black women that love the black community, that wants to see it safe, wants to see it secure so that it can be competitive and creative again. And that's just not going to happen if we have an attitude that that's a field or a profession that's not for us. And inshallah, Minister Ava, I'm working on a project now. I don't want to speak up on it until I get something more concrete, more tangible. So hopefully, if I have some success with this firm that I'm working with, inshallah, sometime by the beginning of May, I have something to present to you, to the family. But that's all I wanted to say. I'm gonna hop off there.
Awesome.
Let someone else get on. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Praise
be to Allah. Walaikum salam.
I like how you just ran in here, dropped another bomb, and then just dropped some powerful stuff, and just left the mic hot. And that's the quality of people that you be pulling, Dr. Ava, onto this show. I mean, that's just the quality of people. It's nation time and it's nation building. And I'm glad you reached back out and made sure he got back on here and let us
Thank
know all of the
so
work he's doing. Yes. So we got work to do. So, I mean, hey, I know whose show it is, and we got down to the last 90 seconds. You already started giving out some thank yous, and we already know we want people to go back and hear the words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the swan song delivered this February the 27th. And go to NOI.org. Make sure that you are tuned in. And continue to listen, and not only the swan song, but go back to July 4th, 2020, to the Criterion. You have enough to study, enough to give guidance. And he hit my note. He hit my number.
Yes, Lord.
I think he hit all my notes and numbers, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
Sure did.
I think I've said enough. I'd rather have one of you close. Brother Minister Abdul Halim Muhammad, please close us out with your final words.
Well, I thank you. In this time that's left, I thank Allah for you, Sadeva, and your years of service to our nation. May Allah continue to bless you and your family and your aspect of your ministry, of the minister's ministry. And I thank you, Brother Terrence, and all of the Elevated Places listeners and participants, and Sister Attorney Pam, thank you for your contribution to this great effort to awaken our people
And not only that, to put them in motion, but also to help bring about order. And I just echo what has been said. Please go back and study the Swan Song and the Criterion and anything of the teachings, and make sure that you attend the self-improvement study group. Get in virtually or in person, but do get in. So may Allah bless us and keep us and preserve us and protect us, and pray for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his family, the Executive Council, and pray for each other. That's all I have to say. May Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. And happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day.